All right, so my name is David. I'm with the Office of Alumni Affairs, and I welcome you to the Alumni Lecture Series. This is our host, Yoni Shankman, who's going to introduce our speaker. So,
all right, thanks for coming out. It's a pleasure to do this. I always like doing events with YU and helping in any way I can. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Yoni Shankman. I'm a financial advisor here at Oppenheimer and a proud YU alumnus. To introduce our speaker, Rabbi Shai Schaffler is a member of the Bella and Harry Wexner Kollel Elyon at the Rabbi Isaac Alfana Theological Seminary. He has smicha from Reitz, as well as a master's in Jewish education from the Azrieli Graduate School of Jewish Education and Administration at Yeshiva University. Since 2011, he has served as the assistant to Rabbi Eitan Kleiner at the White Shul in Far Rockaway, New York. Today he will be speaking about the bracha that you give your children, Erev Yom Kippur, and with that, I'll turn it over to Rabbi Schaffler.
Thank you, Yoni. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you everybody for coming out. I give you tremendous credit for coming out this early at these ungodly hours. I had to daven at 5:30 this morning. I don't know how you do this every day, but it's very impressive. So yashar koach to everybody. We're really going to discuss three parts to a very interesting topic, and that is the topic of Birchas Habanim on Erev Yom Kippur. That we bless our children or our grandchildren, our family members on Erev Yom Kippur. There are three things that I wanted to touch upon when we talk about this issue of Birchas Habanim. Number one is, why is it that we have chosen Erev Yom Kippur specifically to be the time that we give brachos to our children, to our family? That's number one. Number two, how should these brachos be given? We'll see in a couple of minutes that there could be many potential issues with how one gives brachas to his children. And number three, what should we say in our brachas? How exactly should we formulate the brachas that we give? So let's begin like this. The makor of the minhag, the source for this practice of giving brachas on Erev Yom Kippur, really developed in the Mate Ephraim. The Mate Ephraim is the sefer that talks about many of the minhagim on this period of the year specifically. Most of the minhagim that we have are documented in the Mate Ephraim. So the Mate Ephraim writes in Siman Tafresh Yud Tes as follows. Nagu ha'av ha'im Mivarchim es b'neihem terem lechtem lebeis haknesses. Says the Mate Ephraim in number Aleph on the source sheet, that we have the practice that parents give brachas to their children before going to shul on Erev Yom Kippur. Uma'atrim bebracha zu gamkein, and they also package within this bracha, sheyichtimu lechayim tovim, that their children should have a chayim tovim, they should have a good gemar din, v'shiyeh libam nachon b'yiras Hashem, and that we should impart upon our children a degree of Yerushalmayim. Va'agav zeh ma'orim habanim v'habano sheyelchu b'derech tovim v'aruchas tzadikim yishmeru v'lechazek levavam l'tarah kedosha. And through our encouragement as parents, our children hopefully will also pick up on those messages, and they will follow in our ways, in the ways that we're blessing them, that they should live their lives. Ki be'esahi, at this point on Erev Yom Kippur, right before we go to shul, we all have sort of a softened heart because of our emas hadin, because of the intensity of the moment. Says the Mate Ephraim, why do we give bracha specifically at this point in the year? Because this is a time when our hearts are really soft, when we have the time to really think clearly about what our priorities are in life and what we really want to become, what we really want to be. And therefore he says, the brachas will sort of come very naturally into ourselves, and we'll think about it in a much more careful way. The Elef Lamata, which is the commentary on the bottom of the Mate Ephraim, writes that really, just picking up on what the Mate Ephraim himself says, but the Elef Lamata writes that really the idea is that we need to choose a time when our minds are really clear. In Aseres Yemei Tshuva is a time when we're pretty clear. We don't think about so many other things. We think about our relationship with God. We think about the prosperity of our families, we think about the health of our families, but we don't have so much else on our mind from the busyness of the rest of the year. Generally, he says, when we walk into Erev Yom Kippur, right before we go to shul, that's a time when most of us are pretty clear-minded. And therefore, the Aleph Lamata explains that the best time for a person to offer a bracha is when his mind is clear. The Chassam Sofer writes that as well, that this is the reason, the Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva, that this is the reason why we have the minhag in many communities, to bless our children on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because Shabbos and Yom Tov also is a time we don't have Dagas HaParnasa, we don't think about working, we're not running out to a meeting, we're not doing so many things, we come home Friday night, And after we had a beautiful Kabbalah Shabbos, now our minds are clear to sit down and have a Shabbos meal. The first thing we're going to do is give our children a bracha. Why? Because we need to have our minds clear in order to offer a bracha in the most proper fashion that we possibly can. So similarly, we find this concept in another context, and that is the Rama in Siman Kuf Chav Ches. Siman Kuf Chav Ches is an Arach Chaim, which describes all the different halachos about Birchas Kohanim. So it says the Rama in Siman Kuf Chav Ches, Sifkaton Mem Dalit. That's a number bays here. And here the Rama says, Kohen, Afal Pishuhu Panei, No Seyes Kapov. The Shulchan Aruch first tells us that when you have a Kohen, even if he's single and not married, he's still allowed to duchen, he's allowed to do Nesias Kapayim. Why would I have thought not so? Why should you assume that somebody who's single might not be able to duchen? What does that have to do with
Nesias Kapayim? He shouldn't be able to bless others.
Oh, so that's very profound. You're saying, because if I'm not blessed, how can I bless others? Well, let's say I'm only 13 years old, 14 years old. I'm not expecting to be married. If I'm an older single and I really expected to be married at this point, and unfortunately I'm not yet, so maybe I would understand. But what if I'm at the age where I'm really not thinking about getting married yet? Why would one think that I'm not allowed to do Nesias Kapayim?
So you haven't blessed a child, and you don't know what really blessing somebody. You haven't blessed your own child, and you don't know what really blessing somebody else is.
Beautiful idea. It's a beautiful insight.
Doesn't Gemara say that Kol Hashayim V'lo Yishev Shayim V'lo Simcha
V'lo Chasmi? Oh, so your answer might be Al Derech HaHashkafa. It's a beautiful idea that if we don't bless our own children, we don't understand what it means to give love to other people, then perhaps we won't really know how to give love to the Jewish people in general. But really the answer that the Rama picks up on is based on what the Gemara says in Yevamos. The Gemara tells us, Hashari Belo Isha, somebody who's not married, Shari Belo Simcha. He doesn't have enjoyment in his life. He's not fully happy. He's not completely happy. Somebody who's not married is not complete in his happiness. And therefore, if you're not going to be completely happy, you're not going to be able to confer brachas to other people either. One has to be in a state of simcha, one has to be in a state of clarity of mind in order to transfer brachas to give them over to other people. And here says the Rama as follows. So we don't have that practice. Although I would have said that somebody who's single is not completely happy, and therefore he might not be able to give brachas, says the Shulchan Aruch, no. We have the practice that one who is single also gives brachas on the occasion of Nesias Kapayim. Now, says the Rama as follows, V'yesh Omrim. This is in the first line in number Bays on the source sheet. V'yesh Omrim, some say, De'enu nosei kapo. That a single person does not. Why? Based on the Gemara, Da Shari below Isha, Shari below Simcha. Somebody who's not married doesn't have complete happiness in life. V'hamuvarech. And we know that one who gives blessings to other people, Yesh lo liyos besimcha. A person who gives blessings to other people must be in a state of happiness. Binohagu, Shinose Kapab, Afal Pisha Inanasa, he says the Rama, we have the practice that we do Birchas Kohanim even though the person might be single, still we have the practice to do it anyway. Then you skip down a little bit.
That way there's a meaning that sometimes there's a meaning that people who are not
paying less tone. Oh, so let's see over here. We'll get to that in a minute. Skip down two lines where it says, Nagu b'chol medinos elu. Says the Rama as follows. Nagu b'chol medinos elu. We have the practice in all of our communities, says the Rama. She'ein nosim kapayim ela b'yamtiv. We only have the practice to duchen on yamtiv, which is an unbelievable thing. Duchening is really a chiyuv that we have to do every day. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Sota, where the Gemara describes all the halachas of Birchas Kohanim, the Gemara tells us very clearly that there are three mitzvahs involved in every time we do the duchening, every time we do Birchas Kohanim. There are three mitzvahs that are involved. So imagine, the Torah says you have three mitzvahs to do Birchas Kohanim every single day. Yet, we decided that we only duchen on Yantiv. What's this all about? Why does the Rama say, Nogin, only to do Nesias Kapayim on Yantiv? Well, says the Rama, because, Mishum she'az shurim b'simchas Yantiv, because then, when we have the presence of mind of Simcha, when we have an opportunity to clear our minds and just focus on the excitement of the Yantiv, of spending time with our families, V'tov lev hu yivarech. Says the Gemara, the only person who's really able to give a proper bracha is somebody who has clarity of mind, somebody who has simcha, somebody who's settled in his life. Ma she'en ken b'shar hayamim, afilu b'shabbosos hashana shetrudim b'hirhurim al mechiasim al bitum alachdom. We cannot get up every day after davening and do an asiyas kapayim, do a duchening, because we're not completely happy. We're all running to work. We have daigas aparnasa. We're all tied up, we're caught up in our minds. What are we going to do? We're going to go and duchen at the end of davening. Everyone's going to be looking at their watch. What do you mean? I got to get to work. I don't have time to sit around. So since we don't have a clarity of mind, says the Rama, That's the reason why we only duchen on Yom Tov. And then he adds, "V'afilu b'Yom Tov." Even when we do duchen on Yom Tov, ein nosin kapayim ela b'tfilas musaf. We only duchen at musaf. Why? Sheyotzim az mi beis hakneses v'yismuchu b'simchas Yom Tov. So there are some German communities that duchen even by shacharis. However, most minhag Ashkenaz shuls have the practice that they only duchen at musaf. Why, says the Rama? Because that's when we have a clarity. That's when we know we're leaving shul, we're going to be Mesameach. The Rama understood us. He knows we're hungry. He knows this is what we need. So, one second, yeah.
I was just going to add that Mitzvah Liyos Simcha is only on Yom Tov. It's not mentioned on Shabbos.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's by the
way. Right, so you're right. The Stechemet as a Kasha, though, if that's correct, so then how do we understand Yismechu B'Malchuscha? Right, on Shabbos we have a Chiyuv Kibud and Oneg. On Yom Tov we have a Chiyuv, not only Kibud V'Oneg, like the Rambam says, apply on Shabbos as well as Yom Tov, but also we have a Chiyuv of Simcha. Well, if Simcha doesn't apply on Shabbos, why do we say Yismechu B'Malchuscha in the davening every Shabbos? It's a major question. So that you'll have to look in the Stechemet. Maybe the next year we'll discuss that. But one thing I just want to point out is what you see from this. I guess if I'm invited back, but we'll see what happens. But one thing that I want to point out from this Rama over here is that Nesias Kapayim is a concept also that we find has to be done b'simcha, when a person has a clarity of mind. Therefore, we would have thought that perhaps a person who's single doesn't duchen. We happen not to have that practice, but we do have the practice that one doesn't duchen unless it's Yom Tov, because during the week, during the year, we are very caught up in the busyness of our own lives and we cannot give over a proper blessing. That's also perhaps the reason why we give, like the Matir Fraim says, specifically on Erev Yom Kippur, we give a bracha to our children because that's when we have a clarity of mind. Yeah.
The simcha referring to one that's theoretical and one that's actual. Because you can be the Sameach, or you can have great marriage, you know what? Have a lousy day. I'm not happy. I want to bless my kid. Which is it?
It's a good question. You know, you remind me of a story, if we can just digress for a minute. They say a story about the Baal Shem Tov, where the Baal Shem Tov is once looking at his window. He's learning in his study, I assume, in Mezhebezh. I think Mezhebezh is a part of Russia. Am I correct?
Ukraine.
Ukraine? Sorry.
Becoming more and more.
Give it some time. So everyone should be well there. That's all. That's the most important. But basically, the Baal Shem Tov is looking out his window and he sees outside the water carrier is walking through the town. He's schlepping around and his water is spilling out of his buckets and he's buckling over and his back is breaking. So he calls out to him. He wants to give him some chizik. So he calls out to him. He says, "You know, Reb Chaikel, how you doing? How's Parnassa doing today?" So he says, "You know, Parnassa's terrible. Look at me. My water's spilling out of the buckets. All these people hire me. By the time I get to the house, I can't even bring them the water that they asked for. And I'm a hunchback and my legs are buckling. My family needs this amount of money. I can't even pay the bills with this kind of job that I have." And he's going crazy. He's complaining to the Baal Shem Tov, "Life is terrible." Okay, Baal Shem Tov gives him some chizik, goes back into his study to learn. The very next day, the Baal Shem Tov sees him pass by again. He says, "New water carrier, how you doing? How's Parnassa today?" He says, "You wouldn't believe it. Parnassa is unbelievable." This is what he means. He says, "Look at me. I'm a hunchback. My legs are buckling. My family needs money. I can't even provide for them. Look, I pick up my water carrier. I pick up the buckets. By the time I get to the people's house, most of it already spilled out. But look, the people are so nice. They hire me anyway. And most of my friends aren't even willing to get out of bed in the morning. My wife sleeps in bed all day. I can't even get her to wake up. She's so depressed. She has nothing to do with her life. And me, I still have a spirit. I still have courage to get up and go to work every day. How blessed can I be? Isn't that amazing?" So the Baal Shem Tov was so shocked by this, he walks away and he says, "Now I understand the Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Adam Nidam B'Rosh Hashanah. Kol Bo Yolam Yavrin Lefanecha Kivnei Maron." It's a very famous part of the davening that we say on Yom Narayim, that everyone is judged on Rosh Hashanah. At the same time, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yossi, Adam Nidam Mechol Yom. Person is judged each and every day of the year. So which one is it? Are we judged on Rosh Hashanah for the whole year? Or are we judged each and every day of the year for that particular day, what is going to be? So that's a question that the Baal Shem Tov was bothered by. So the simple answer before you talk Hasidus is, there's a machlokus in the Gemara. It's not really such a kasha. But okay, let's say the Baal Shem Tov didn't want to say that answer. Said the Baal Shem Tov, "Now I understand. On Rosh Hashanah, the Ribbono Shel Olam decides which bracket of life we're going to live in. Are we going to be a water carrier? Are we going to be a financial planner? Are we going to be a doctor, a lawyer, a mechanech, a rabbi? That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam decides on Rosh Hashanah, the big picture. But then how we spend each and every experience of that bracket, that's Adam Nidam Mechol Yom. We have the opportunity to decide how we're going to spend, how our attitude is going to be on each one of those days that we're so blessed to have. Are we going to be like the water carrier on the first day who's depressed and who's sad that he can't do anything with his life and that he's hunchback and he's falling over and he can't do his job properly? Or are we going to be so optimistic with the opportunity that we have in life? Adam nida mechol yom means we have the opportunity to make that choice every day, how we're going to use the din that we were given already on Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year. So that's something you're reminding me of. You know, we, thank God, are given that choice every day to figure out how much are we going to allow ourselves to use the opportunities and enjoy the opportunities that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us to enjoy the time on this earth. Anyway.
So you're clarifying the question.
Clarifying the question, yes. That's what we try to do. Questions are usually better than answers, yeah.
Two quick things. It still bothers me why we would only do it illicit and not chakras.
Uh huh.
So having grown up in a shtiva, I would offer that that's when he's called a kid.
Okay.
But more seriously, there might be an opinion between the Hashkafic answer that you got and the other answer. Mm-hmm. What happens when the person was married but now is no longer? So they taste of simple, hopefully. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But would this did apply to them now, would they go back to status recreational or not?
Very interesting. Excellent.
So what would
thank you
say if someone was married?
What would the Ramah say if someone was married? Well, it happens to be our practices that even someone who is not married duchens anyway.
Right.
So the question, you know, is not, you know, exactly an afkamina, but it's certainly a very beautiful afkamina that would come out, would play out between the two reasons that were suggested.
Just don't go off on a tangent quickly.
So maybe we save it if it's not directly relevant. Maybe we'll save it till we're done. Some of us around your work. You know,
who says that there's really a simcha in Erev Yom Kippur? The whole premise is Erev Yom Kippur. Who says that person has Menuchas and Nefesh on Erev Yom Kippur? I know a lot of people
who are a little bit nervous on Erev Yom Kippur.
Who are the opposite of Menuchas and Nefesh on Erev Yom Kippur, no?
Well, it says we're supposed to be confident bedin. What do you mean? It says that every Rosh Hashanah you go, you take a haircut, you go, you put on fancy clothing. Why do you put it on? You're supposed to be nervous. It says the Mishnah Berurah, says all the Acharonim, because we're supposed to be confident. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to feel that God is always here for us, He's going to take care of us, and nothing to worry about.
You could ask the same question about Yom.
Yeah.
But the whole construct of Yom Kippur is a certain emes hadin, a certain fear. I understand the backdrop of that we wear white and all that stuff, but we're theoretically supposed to be happy and excited.
Okay.
I'm saying, right. Yontif, I don't know how many people go to Yontif shaking.
You don't have so many other things going on. That's more the point. Your mind is pretty much clear. You're not dealing with everything else. The Beis Yosef writes in Siman Reish Chaf Ches as well that this is what we find by Yitzchak Avinu. It says by Yitzchak, Vaseli Matamim, he first asked his children to make food for him, and then he says, Vavarcheka, then I'll give you the bracha. Why? Why don't you give your son the bracha now and then send him on his way? Says the Beis Yosef, no, because that is always the idea. When one gives a bracha, he has to have a clarity of mind. If Yitzchak Avinu is going to be hungry, let's be real. When you're hungry, you can't think straight. I'm hungry, I need to eat. Says Yitzchak Avinu, first va'aseh li matamim. First, I'm a human being. First go and make me food. And then, when I have a clarity of mind, va'avarcheka. Then I'll be able to give you the brachas the way I should and the proper fashion. So this is why the minig has developed that we give brachas on Erev Yom Kippur. There's a lot more to talk about when we duchen, when we don't. I just thought it was interesting to note, now that we mentioned about duchening every day, really the Gemara tells us that the chiyuv is really to duchen each and every day of the year, but the Ramah explains why we only do it on Yom Tov time. It's interesting to note what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Look at number Gimel. The Aruch HaShulchan tells us also in Simen Kuf Chav Ches and Hilchas Nesias Kapayim, Vihinei, Vadai, ein shum tam nochel lemin hagenu, levato mitzvas esse debrichas kohanim kala shana kula. Umina goruahu, says the Aruch HaShulchan. I don't understand. Yes, the Ramah is saying a very nice reason, because on Yom Tov we're more besimcha, we're more excited, we have a clarity of mind. But in the end of the day, the Torah said you have to duchen every day. How do you, Ramah, have a right to say that we're just going to throw out a whole mitzvah that we're supposed to be performing each and every day of the year? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, I think it's a mistake. Avol ma naaseh, what can I do? Ukeilu bas kol yotza shelo lahaniach lanu lisa kapayim b'chol hashana kula. What?
Ain't shomin el baskol.
Oh, so listen to this. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, it seems that there was some sort of baskol. What's he referring to? What's he referring to over here? Says the Netziv and Etshuva and the Meshiv Dover. Netziv writes the following story. V'zachruni, and I remember. This is a number Dalet in the Shalos Etshuva's Meshiv Dover Chelik Beis. I remember Shashamati Kimeduma Mechosni Hagon Maharitz Hagai V'Devalajun. He heard it from the Av Bezin of Valajun. Shepam Achas Hiskim Rabbeinu Hagruch. the Vilna Gaon decided Lahanig Nesias Kapayim B'chol Yom Beveis Midrashu. The Vilna Gaon decided that the Aruch HaShulchan is right. Obviously he was before the Aruch HaShulchan, but the Vilna Gaon was obviously bothered by the same problem. Where does the Ramah come off to say that we shouldn't Dulchan every day? You're right, maybe you're not going to be so happy, maybe you want to have a clarity of mind. These are nice ideas, but in the end of the day, the Torah says to Dulchan every day. So the Vilna Gaon decided that we're going to start Dulchaning in Vilna each and every day of the year. V'ikvuhu min ha-shamayim. And they stopped him. V'nilkach le-beis ha-asurim. And the Vilna Gaon was taken to prison. Be'ez ha-machlokes ha-narah be-Vilna lo-yalein. So the Vilna Gaon took that as a simon min ha-shamayim, that the day that he wanted to start the Dulchaning in Shul, each and every day, the day that he wanted to start it, he was taken to prison. And similarly, ba'achar kach, hagon avi haroim arenu ha-Rav Chaim Valazhin, hiskim b'yom echad, Rav Chaim Valazhin decided that he also was going to start the practice of duchening every day, sh'b'yom ha-machos yitzav alisa kapayim, v'oso laila, and that night, the night before they were going to duchen the next morning, nisraf chatzi ha'ir, half of the city of Valazhin burnt down, and even the shul burnt down as well. And Reb Chaim Valazhin said it was a clear simon min hashamayim sheyesh baza ezer davar sod besisrei hashbos habracha hayored al yidei birchas kohanim mechutz laretz ve'ein itanu yodea adma. Says the Netziv, I assume this is what the Aruch HaShulchan is referring to. It's like a baskol came in hashamayim. What do you mean a baskol? There were two very strange stories, very striking stories, when number one, the Vilna Gaon was taken to jail. Number two, the Reb Chaim Valazhin, or half the city, burnt down the day that he started, he wanted to begin the Nesias Kapayim. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, for whatever reason it is, it's obviously the case that one is only able to duchen when he has a clarity of mind, when he's besimcha, when he's happy, when he's content. And if he's not holding in such a state, then one is not able to give brachas. Rav Avram Shapiro once told my father, Rav Avram Shapiro was the Rosh Hashiva in Merkaz Arav in Yerushalayim, so he once told my father, so why do we duchen in Eretz Yisrael every day? So he said, because nobody works here. Nobody has Dagas HaParnassus, so there's nothing to be concerned about.
What were each of them thinking the day before they came up with the idea of Dulchan?
What do you mean?
What changed?
The
week before.
What do you mean? What was the Ramah thinking? What was the Ramah thinking? Okay. That's what they were bothered.
Now they're going against the Ramah.
Right, but the Vilna Gaon says, listen, the Vilna Gaon always takes on, you know.
Right.
He had big shoulders.
What was he thinking the day before? Well, no, they weren't doing it for what reason? Benign or black? So, maybe.
What prompted to start at that
point? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a good question. But
somebody learned the halach.
Right. Yep. Historical question, I guess. I don't know. So that's phase number one of our shiur about why it is that we give the brachas. Why is this minhag developed that we give blessings on Erev Yom Kippur? And the simple reason is because that's a time when we have clarity. That's a time when we're able to offer brachas because we're besimcha, because we're happy, and because we have a clarity of mind. So now we get to the second part, and that is when one gives brachas to his children. We know that very often the minhag has developed that one puts his hands on the children's head, boys or girls, fathers or mothers. Very often we see that parents put their hands on the heads of the children as they give the brachas. Now this is a very big question. Rav Yaakov Emden writes, he was the son of the Chacham Tzvi, Rav Yaakov Emden writes, that we know that the minhag developed on Friday night, that many people, and he writes that his father used to give him brachas as well on Friday night, the Chacham Tzvi. This was already a very old minhag. So the Chacham Tzvi used to give brachas on Friday night, and Rav Yaakov Emden documents that his father used to put his two hands on his head, and he would say, Yivarechacha Hashem Yishmerecha, he would offer him the Birchas Kohanim that generally the Kohanim give to us. So the Torah Tamima asks in Parshas Naso, he says, I don't understand. We know the Gemara says that Zar Shanasa Es Kapav, a non-Kohen who chooses to give the Birchas Kohanim, is over Ba'esek. V'samu Eshmiel B'nei Yisrael V'ani Avarachem. Only the Kohanim have the mitzvah to go ahead and give the blessing to the Jewish people. We don't have the right as Yisraelim to give over that bracha. So ask the Torah Tamima, what right does a father or a mother have to give the Birchas Kohanim to their children, to put the hands on the head, and to do exactly what the Kohanim do when they bless the Jewish people? What right do we have to copy them if in fact the Gemara tells us that a Zar Shanaseas Kapav, a non-Kohen who chooses to duchen, is violating a mitzvah's essay, he is not allowed to do that. So the story is told about the Vilna Gaon, documented in many different svarim, that apparently the Vilna Gaon once came to a wedding. I'm sure he went to a wedding more than once, but the story is that he came to a chuppah, and one of the Rabbanim there asked him that he should give the chassan a bracha. The chassan was a Talmud of his or something like that. So the Vilna Gaon walked up, and he gave him Yivarecha Hashem Yishmarecha, he gave him the Birchas Kohanim, And he, when he was asked later on by his Talmidim, what right did he have to give the Birchas Kohanim? Aye, you're not a Kohen, Vilna Gaon, so why are you allowed to give it? So he said, well, I only put one hand on his head. And it's only a problem if you put two hands on the head, because the Kohanim have to lift both of their hands when they do the Duchening. So if I'm not going to lift both my hands, I'm not doing the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, so there's no issue at all. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. Similarly, the Avnei Nezer writes in a tshuva, an interesting idea, says the Avnei Nezer, what happens if unfortunately you have a Kohen who lost a hand? For whatever reason, or he has something wrong that he cannot lift one hand, you know, high enough to go like this. Says Avnei Nezer, is that person allowed to duchen or not? Avnei Nezer says absolutely not. It's ma'akev. That is an integral part of the Birchas Kohanim, that the Kohen lifts both hands, and if you have a Kohen who's not well enough to lift both hands, says Avnei Nezer, he is not allowed to duchen. So that's probably the idea of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon came to this wedding. He wanted to offer a bracha to the chassan, so he put one hand on his head. Why does that solve the problem? Because if Birchas Kohanim is not able to be done without having two hands, so said the Vilna Gaon, I'm not doing the Birchas Kohanim, I'm only putting one hand on top, it's not an issue at all.
Why didn't he use both hands and just not spread his fingers like the Kohanim? Is that ma'akev?
Well, I'm not sure if the fingers are ma'akev. I think that's more of a minhag to do the fingers, yeah.
I think he answered something that was bothering me, because in the Sefer Menachos, it talks about how you're supposed to be somach on top of a zebach, and it seems to be exactly the way you do it on your children, and it seems a little odd that you should treat your children the same way you treat an animal.
Like a carbon.
Yeah, like a carbon. So, but I think from what you said, it seems like...
Yeah, it's more of a birchas kohanim.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Even without the Avnei Nezer, you can understand why it's okay with one hand.
What? Yeah, why?
Then you're not copying the kohanim.
It's not exactly the same.
You're not doing birchas kohanim. But the Avnei Nezer just makes it.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So the Yaivitz writes, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, writes about his father, the Chacham Tzvi, as we said. His father used to give him brachas on Leil Shabbos. So the Yaivitz writes, listen as follows. He says his father used to bless him with two hands. He used to put both hands on his head. And he says he was a very sharp personality, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden. If you look in the history, he had a lot of very sharp controversy, a lot of different stories about him. But he writes over here an attack on those who said from the Vilna Gaon that you only do with one hand, and that helps. My father, the Chacham Tzvi, used to give me a bracha, not like those chasrei hadas, those people who are... Whatever, he's saying it. Says the Yaivitz, I didn't have such a minhag in our family. My father, who was quite a big Talmud Chacham himself, the Chacham Tzvi, used to give me a bracha with two hands. Not like those people who think that you're going to get out of the problem with one hand. There's nothing to worry about. We're not copying the Kohanim. I'm giving my son a bracha. What does that have to do with anything? I'm not trying to be a Kohen. I'm not sitting in shul. I'm not doing it in the context of davening, of duchening, of avoda. Says the Chacham Tzvi, there's really nothing to worry about at all. And there are other achronim that discuss this as well. What is the way out for not violating the Isser? How do we get out of the kash of the Torah Tmima? Why do we not violate the Isser every time we give our children brachas? The Mishnah Berurah says in Siman Kuf Chav Ches that perhaps the answer is that we should all have in mind not to be Yotzei the Birchas Kohanim when we bless our children. I don't know, are we really able to have that in mind? How many people are thinking before, oh, I should have this kavanah and that kavanah? I'm having kavanah to bless my children. I'm not having a million different kavanahs. It's hard to start bifurcating our minds and figuring out what we're going to think about, what we're not going to think about. The simple answer is that we're not doing it in the context of davening, we're not doing it in the context of avoda, we're certainly not trying to copy the Kohanim. Many Achronim say that as long as we don't say the Shema Meforish, like they said in the Beis HaMikdash, also not a violation. So there's many ways out, but I just thought it was interesting to note that there is an issue that's discussed at length in many, many Tshuvas Achronim about how we are allowed to give brachas to our children if in fact it seems that we're copying the venue that the Kohanim give brachas to us. What's the time? I'm supposed to finish at 9:30? Okay.
Also, yeah. It's
not in the context of a davening. Yeah, let's say a Kohen just gets up at a simcha. Very often you have Kohanim get up and they say, you know, they want to, let's say the grandfather of the chassan, the grandfather of the bar mitzvah, he gets up and he says, you know, I want to give a bracha, birchas Kohanim, yibracha Hashem yishmerecha. It's not really a birchas Kohanim. It's very nice that the Kohen is giving a bracha. That's not really in the context of what birchas Kohanim is generally meant to be. Well, it could be over there. He didn't want to cause kinah. He didn't want to cause jealousy. He was going to do one before the other. I know they say a story that even though the Rama says in Yeridei in Hilchos Bris Mila, the Rama says that the minhag is you only give sandakos to a person once in a family. Not supposed to give someone twice. Why? Because the Rama quotes from the Maharil that if someone is a sandik, it's a skula for ashirus. It's a skula that one is going to become rich because it's just like being marked to the Ketores for whatever reason. The sandik. Sandik is going to become rich. Rav Schwab once asked my father, how come I've been a sandik so many times? I don't seem to be becoming rich. What's going on here? So Rav Schwab said, my father told me that Rav Soloveitchik once said the answer is because perhaps you get rich in whatever area you plan to be rich in. So Rav Soloveitchik said, I became rich in learning. That's what I always wanted. God gave it to me because I was a sandik. He gave me riches in what I wanted to be rich in. If you want to be rich in, you know, in other ways, so maybe you'll get rich in those ways.
They say nice about the stipler, that they ask the stipler, if you've been a sandik 5,000 times, how can you not rich? He said, look at my son of time.
So same kind of answer. But Rav Schwab told my father that he thinks perhaps the reason why often we see a sandik who doesn't become rich is because really, the Rama says that a sandik means you have to hold the baby while they're doing the bris and afterward. Nowadays, we want to split up kibudim, we want to be nice to everybody, so we give you sandik mu'umah, the sandik miyushev, a kisa shel aliyah, we give all the different kibudim, you split everything up, like at a wedding, you know, you make up a kibud when Governor Cuomo comes to your wedding, or you have, you know, some senator comes, so you say, oh, we're mechabed him with holding the ring, we're mechabed him with walking down the aisle with the ring, you make up all sorts of kibudim because you want to be mechabed people. So to over here, by a bris, we split up the kibudim because we want to be mechabed more people than just the bare minimum. So Rav Schwab suggested that perhaps the reason why we find so many people who do sandikos and don't become rich is because they don't actually do the mitzvah. They only do half of it. You stop in the middle of the mitzvah, you don't get points. So that was his suggestion. But be it as it may, the minhag generally is that you don't give sandikos to somebody twice. Yet, they say about Rav Shach that he had twin grandchildren. And they were mechabed him to be the sandik by the first one. The brisim were one after the other on the seventh day, on the day of the bris, so they made the brisim on time, I think. And Rav Shach took the first kid, and he was the sandik. And then the second one, they were going to be mechabed someone else. Rav Shach said, absolutely not. I want to be the sandik for the second one, too. Says, what do you mean? The Rama says, you're not supposed to do it twice? Certainly not on the same day. What are you doing? Why don't you let someone else have the kavod? He said, I don't want that these twins should fight later on when they're older and say, I'm better because Rav Shach was my sandik and he wasn't yours. So Rav Shach said that you have to be very careful when you're dealing with twins, when you're dealing with people who are very close in age, that you always have to do everything in a way that they're never going to feel cheated in any way from one to the other. There should never be kinah, there should never be any sort of jealousy between the two. Perhaps that's why Yaakov Avinu might not be a prime example, because Yaakov Avinu had to have a special sensitivity for the twins, for Ephraim and Menashe. So perhaps that's a different situation. So now let's just get to the third part, and this is also a very fascinating issue, and that is with regard to how is a person supposed to formulate the brachas that one gives his children on Erev Yom Kippur. Now this is a very interesting idea. The Chidah writes in one of his Svarim, the Elef Lamata quotes this as well on the bottom of the Mate Ephraim, I forgot to put it on here, you'll just listen. The Zohar HaKadosh writes as follows, Kisha Adam rotze lebarach es beno el chaveiro. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, I have no proficiency in Zohar at all, but this is quoted by many Achronim. So they write that when a person wants to bless his children, or bless anybody for that matter, Yivarech b'tchila l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first we should offer a blessing to Hashem, v'im lo mevarech tchila l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'rchosav lo meskaim. If we don't first offer a blessing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before offering a blessing to a human being, then our brachas, for some reason, will not work out. Now really, this has roots in the Gemara Nedarim Daf Lamed Beis. Let's look at the Gemara together. The Gemara number Hey writes as follows. Amar Rab Zachariah Mishum Rebbe Shmuel. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahotzi Kuhuna Mishem. Right? There was Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. That was the first yeshiva in the world. What they were learning there, I'm not sure. I guess the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Right? There was nothing really much around then. So I guess that's what they were learning. But Shem was a big tzaddik. So originally, says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Lahotzi Kuhuna Mishem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the kuhuna should come from Shem. Shem was a big Rosh Hashiva, was a famous person. Shenemar, Vuhu Kohen Lekel Eliyot. The Pasuk says that Shem was a Kohen. However, Kivan Shehikdim Birchas Avram LeBirchas HaMakom, Shem blew it for himself. Had he blow it, what did he do wrong? Kivan Shehikdim Birchas Avram LeBirchas HaMakom, Hotziya Me Avram. Shem did something wrong, says the Gemara. Shem first said, Shenemar Vayivarchehu, Shem offered a blessing to Avram Avinu, and he said, "Vayomar, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon Konei Shamayim Va'aretz." He said, "Avram Avinu, you are blessed Uvaruch Kel Elyon. And by the way, God should also be blessed.
Shame is
Avimelech. Shame is
Avimelech, yeah.
What?
Aaron was the first Kohen. How could have been a Kohen?
So it's a good question. One second. Let's just see the Gemara. Amar lo Avram. V'chi magdim in birchas eved de birchas kono. Avram Avinu says, you say first a blessing to me, and then you say, Uvaruch Kel Elyon? That's not respectful. You praise the servant before you praise the master. That doesn't make any sense. Says Avram Avinu, that was not proper, and the Gemara says, Miyad nitna l'Avram Avinu. So you're asking, what do you mean? Didn't really come from Avram Avinu either. Didn't come from Shem, didn't come from Avram. It came from Aaron HaKohen. That was much later on in history. The Mefarshim and the Rishonim already have a big discussion there, how we're supposed to really understand this Gemara. But be it as it may, the Gemara seems to tell us, whatever it means, the Gemara seems to tell us that Shem was punished. He was supposed to have blessing in his life. He was supposed to have the kahuna, whatever that means. But it was taken away from him. Why? Because he didn't structure, he didn't formulate his bracha properly. He didn't first bless God and then bless the human being. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's what the Zohar Kaddish teaches us.
Could this swear Avram and Shem had about placing some wells?
Over what was that?
Wells.
You're saying that Shem was Avimelech?
This is Shem? This is Avimelech
and Shem? It seems. That's what it seems. You gotta look back at the psukim. Yeah, I have to look back. Oh, really? Not familiar.
Again, there was more than one Avimelech.
Okay. Like more than one Paro, I guess. Layakam Elech Hadash? I don't know. But, so this is what we see from the Gemara. This has roots when we talk about, let's say, saying L'chaim. We have a minute to say L'chaim before we take a drink. And it's a big question where this minhag comes from. The Rishonim write that the minhag really is developed based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Gimel. This is number Vav. The Das Akenemi Balei Atosis writes, because the Gemara says here in Sanhedrin, Amar Rav Chisda Hayotze Lihareg, someone who unfortunately is getting capital punishment, and the Bezdin is walking him out to be killed, to be executed. Mashkenos HaKorot Shal Levona, we give him a drink. V'kos Shal Yayin, we give him a drink of wine. Kadesh HaTitarif Daito, in order that he should lose his mind. We don't want him to think about where he's going. We don't want him to be depressed about what's about to happen, so we try to divert his attention, we try to give him wine. Shanemar tnu shechel oved b'yayin l'mari nefesh. Give wine to somebody who's depressed, because we don't want him to think too much about their tzaras. Similarly, the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Mem, Ilan shachal mimenu Adam Arishon. The tree that Adam Arishon, the Eitz Hadas, what was it? Big machlokas in the Gemara, Rav Meir Amar Geffen Hayat. Rav Meir says that it was a Geffen, it was a vineyard. And the Gemara says, "She'ein lecha davar shemevi yulala la'adam ela miyayin shenemar ve'yesh min hayayin v'yishkar." So basically, the Gemara tells us in many different contexts that they used to use wine to be menachem avelim. They used to use wine in order to divert the attention of the person who was being executed with the capital punishment. But be it as it may, wine was generally used for negative connotations, for negative occurrences. So therefore, over here, we have developed the minhag to say l'chaim. When somebody drinks wine, we say, we don't want the wine to be used for that kind of experience. We don't want the wine to be used for the nicham avelim. We don't want the wine to be used for the execution. We want the wine to be used l'chaim, that you should have life. So this is where the minhag has developed. However, the Prima Gadim writes, when is it proper to say the l'chaim? How is one supposed to formulate? So what do we do? What do we do by our kiddushes and shul, right?
Make the brocha, then say l'chaim, then drink.
Oh, so that is certainly not the way to do it. Why? I mean, a lot of people make that mistake. Why is that not the way? Because that's a hefsek, right? So one always has to be careful to make the bracha right before doing the mitzvah, right before eating the food, whatever it might be. So that's why the Achronim write that it's probably a mistake that many people say the bracha bari paragafen shakal niyavidvar, and then they say l'chaim, because that will constitute a hefsek in between the birchas hanenin and the drinking. So let's say that option is out. So now what's the other option? So you say, so some say l'chaim first. L'chaim, you want to give brachas first, and then you go ahead and you say, Baruch Pi'ar Gafen, Shakal Ni'abidvar, and then you drink. Others say, make a bracha, drink the wine, drink the schnapps, and then after you drink a little bit, then you say l'chaim. And that is the more preferred minhag to do. Why is that the more preferred minhag? The Achronim write, the Prima Gadim quotes this, many other Achronim have it as well, that the reason why is based on this Gemara Nedarim, because l'chaim is a bracha that we're giving to human beings. We're blessing other people that they should have a good life. Shehakol Ni'abidvaro, or Baruch Pi'ar Gafen, is a blessing to God. The Gemara says that first, one has to make sure to offer an appeasement or a blessing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only afterward can we offer a blessing to human beings. So therefore, the minhag has developed that when we drink l'chaim, the most proper way to do it is to say baruch pi hagafen shehakel nivadvaro, then take a drink in order to make sure that it's not a hefsik between the bracha and the shtia and the drinking. And only afterward do we offer a bracha of l'chaim to other people. And again, l'chaim is based on what the Rishonim say. It's based on the fact that very often in the times of the Gemara, the schnapps or the wine was used for negative purposes. And we're offering a blessing that we always want the wine to be used for good things, for good occasions, and for happy reasons. Similarly, we have a Gemara in Horeis Daf Yud Beis, where the Gemara tells us, and we know this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, where the Gemara tells us that on Rosh Hashanah we're supposed to have simanim. So we all have a rimon, and we have an apple and a honey, we have all sorts of things, and we make all the yiratzons, but one thing that's important is we have to make a barik riha eitz before we eat the apple and the honey. Why? Because only time that the hamotzi lechem and ha'aretz is able to take care of everything in the meal is when it's really a part of the meal. But over here, we're not really using this as a course in the meal, we're doing it as a separate part of the meal. It's almost like a dessert. It's different than a dessert, but it's similar. So therefore, we have the practice that we say barik riha eitz, and only then do we eat the apple. So the Magen Avraham writes over there as well. So when are you supposed to say the Yiratzim? Yiratzim shetechadish aleinu shana tova masuka. When do you say that? Before you make the ha'eitz? After you make the ha'eitz? In between? So that's the same question as the L'chaim, says the Magen Avraham. Well, there are those who mistakenly make the Baruch Pi ha'eitz, say the Yiratzim, and then eat the apple. But that would be a hefsik. You can't be mopsik in between the bracha and the eating of the apple, or the eating of the rimon, the pomegranate, or whatever you have. Therefore, says the Magen Avraham, the best way to do it is make the Baruch Pi ha'eitz, take a bite of the apple, and then you say, Yihiratzon shechadish aleinu shana tova masuka. Again, this is based on the same logic. And just because we're a little bit out of time, you can all read this on your own later if you're interested. Number Tes, the Aderes, who is the father-in-law of Rav Kook, points out as well that this is a big discussion when it comes to somebody who sneezes. So he says in the times of the Gemara, right nowadays we say, bless you. But in the times of the Gemara, they didn't only say, bless you, they also used to say, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. They used to offer a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So he gives a whole background about this. How is one supposed to do that? Well, you're not just supposed to offer a bracha to a human being without offering a bracha to Hashem. But when I'm saying, bless you, what do you mean? I don't say, bless you and bless you. So what am I supposed to do? So that's what the Aderes discusses here in Number Tes. You can read it on your own. It's just a fascinating discussion. I just want to close with...
So how do you properly do it on Erev Yom Kippur? How do you add
the... So the Aleph Lamata writes as follows. He writes that the proper way to give a bracha on Erev Yom Kippur is to first say some sort of bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning to say, not a Shema Malchus bracha, but to say some sort of pasuk, of shvach, of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives all sorts of options of what you can say, but everyone can say whatever they feel speaks to them.
The same thing on Friday night?
Same thing on Friday night. A person is supposed to offer a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or some sort of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before offering a bracha to a human being. And the reason being, number one, the Zohar HaKadosh, who says that if a person doesn't first bless Hashem, then for some reason, Al Pi Kabbalah, for some reason his brachas won't be mekuyim, they won't come through properly. And number two, because the Gemara Nedarim says that there was the story, this discussion between Shem and Avraham Avinu, where it seems that Shem did things a little bit out of order, and therefore the kahuna was taken away from him. Again, we have the questions that kahuna doesn't seem to be really part of his heritage anyway, but still, that was a discussion that the Gemara had in Nedarim. Where does the apple come from?
Yeah, the apple. Why the birch? I understand the birch. Is the apple just a delivery mechanism for the birch? Why an apple?
Why an apple?
Apple's not one of them. One of the sunny on the plate.
You're supposed to use a head of fish. You're supposed to use a head of fish, really.
Honey?
Yeah.
Goes
well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The apple, I think some say, if I'm not mistaken, I think in that Gemara, when it talks in Brachos about this Gemara in Daf Mem, when it talks about what Adam Arishon made a mistake with, what was that tree? I think one of the Shitas in the Gemara is, one is a Tapu, one is a Te'ena, one says a Gefen, one says a Chita. Yeah, you're right, it's not an apple. I'm not sure. What, the apple? Oh yeah? What is that about?
I don't know how they came up with it, but it comes from
an
intestine.
Uh-huh.
I think that there's a, in the car, I don't know where, but the apple is a simbrach in general, because the apple has 10 parts in the inside, and the aseret hadibros, there's a lot of
That was in a Chassidish shtiebel, you know. This is a, you know.
Okay. You cut it up like.
That's why you cut. That's why Chassidish cut the apple top to bottom, not side to side, like you're describing, because the inside the star has 10 parts. So you can get to that.
I don't know. In my house, my father never shared his, you know, his insights on this matter. So I don't know. I'm not sure. Let's maybe we can just if we can just move on, just to close with one last point. Then we'll take questions, because I'm sure people have to go. The Gemara says in the Nedarim Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis, that's number Yud, the last source here, Mipnei Ma Talmidei Chachamim, how come so often we find that we have great Talmidei Chachamim, we have great leaders in the world, but Ein B'neihem Talmidei Chachamim? Why do we find quite often that Ein B'neihem Talmidei Chachamim, that the children of Talmidei Chachamim don't end up to be like their parents? Why is that? Now, I don't know the research in other areas of the world. Do we assume that most lawyers have children who are also lawyers? Most doctors have children who want to be doctors? I'm not sure. But the Gemara says that it seems that there's a higher rate of sons of Talmidei Chachamim who don't end up becoming Talmidei Chacham. Says the Gemara, Ravina Amar She'en Mevarchem B'Torah Tchila. What does that mean? She'en Mevarchem B'Torah Tchila. If you take this Gemara at face value, it seems, like we all know, the Gemara says in Nedarim, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? What does that mean? The Ran explains, because they didn't have enjoyment in their learning. Okay, you can say all sorts of pshetlach, all sorts of different things, but it's hard to imagine that you have a great Torah leader, a great Torah scholar, a great leader of a certain community, and he's not going to be Mavarach HaTorah, he's not going to say Berachos HaTorah in the morning. How can you say that? How can you say that's the reason? So the Bali Musar explained, what does this Gemara mean? Somebody who loves Torah enough, somebody who loves Torah as much as we would expect a Talmud Chacham to love it, would give a blessing to his children and say, I hope that you also become a Talmud Chacham. And if we bless our children, and we don't emphasize the fact that the first and most important thing that we expect from them, and that we hope for them, is to be Talmidei Chachamim, then they will not become those. They will not become that. And that's what the Gemara says, the Bali Musar explained. Shelo bircha b'Torah tchila means when they offer blessings to their children, they don't emphasize first the most important thing that they want, that the children should become Yirei Shamayim, Talmidei Chachamim, Avdei Hashem, and that is where they go wrong. They say from the Baal Shem Tov that the pasuk says by Avraham Avinu, Ki Yedativ. What does it mean, Ki Yedativ? I love him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love Avraham Avinu. Why? If I had to end off the pasuk on my own, I would have said, I have a million reasons to love Avraham Avinu. First believer in God. Right? He gave up everything he had to go and believe in God and live on his own and do everything on his own. The Gemara says he was Me'ever Echa, the rest of the world was Me'ever Hasheni. He was running his own life. He was running his own world. Avraham Avinu was the biggest chesed organization, right? He had his tent was open and people were in and out all the time. He was giving them whatever they wanted. Avraham Avinu made everybody else believe in God. He was the first teacher of Torah. He was the first person to be doing all this. He was the first Rosh Hashiva. So I would have said, I have a lot of reasons to love Avraham Avinu. But what does the pasuk say? The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him, not for any of the above, not because he's the first believer in God, and not because he has a chesed organization, and not because he gives his life for the rest of the world, rather, because he's there for his children, and because he's willing to be mechanech them, leleches b'derech Hashem. Says the Baal Shem Tov, you have a mashal to a person, you know, he's an older man, and his son comes to him, he says, you know, I need an etzah. What should I do with my life? I'm starting college now. I want to know, what should I go for? What should my major be? What should my minor be? What should I be going for? Which graduate school should I go to? What do you think I should do with my life? So the father says, look, my whole life, I was underprivileged. My parents never sent me to school. I was never educated. And the only thing I was able to do was collect garbage. You know, it's a fine parnasa, but I never really enjoyed it. I was never really able to support myself properly. Family was never really happy. They were never proud of what I did. I would suggest that there's one thing you're not going to do. You should not be doing what I ended up doing in my life, because I really didn't feel fulfilled. It's a very sad reality. What?
Stinky job.
Right. It's a very sad reality, but sometimes that happens. You have parents who are very uncomfortable with the choices that they made in their own lives, and they tell their children, because they love them, don't make the choices that I made. Avraham Avinu says, L'man asher yitzava es banav es beser achar. What is the directive that Avraham Avinu gives his children? I feel so fulfilled in the life that I live. I love what I do. L'leches b'derech Hashem. That's what I'm telling you, my children, to do the exact same thing. Because I love what I'm doing. I feel fulfilled in the life that I live. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's why I love Avraham Avinu. Because he emphasized to his children where his priorities are and what he feels is the most fulfilled lifestyle that a person can possibly live. So I think when we think about this Gemara in the Daram Daf Pe'alef, when the Gemara tells us that sometimes the reason why Bnei'em Shel Talmidei Chacham are not Talmidei Chacham is because Lo Barchu B'Torah Tchila, it's not just talking to Talmidei Chacham, it's talking to all of us. And it means that when we offer brachas to our children, there are always subliminal messages that our children get from us. They hear what we emphasize and what we don't. They hear in the subconscious what the parents are trying to say, where they put the emphasis in the brachas, what they really want their children to become. When you say that you want your kids to be Yirei Shamayim, to be Avdei Hashem, do we really mean it? Our kids can pick up on it. They hear it. They understand where we're holding. They understand what we're saying to them. And that's what the Gemara tells us. If we really want that they should be successful in accomplishing that in their lives, then we have to make sure as educators and as parents to be sure to emphasize and to show that that is our top, that's our number one priority for them in their lives as well. So Yehi Ratzon, all our brachas should be mekuyam. We should all have nachas from our children, from our families, and we should all be blessed with the Gemara Chasima Tova and Agud Tiyar. Thank you everybody again for coming.
Thanks for coming. We're going to stick around for a little bit, have more bagels. Right here.